Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, I want to talk about the essential mission of Jesus. That's right, the essential mission of Jesus. So often we think that Jesus came into the world to do one thing, but he actually came and did something else that was very deep. And it sounds a bit mysterious. I want you to keep listening. That's what we're going to talk about today. So go get your family, get your friends, get everybody you love. I think today's message is going to bless you and something, please God, that will touch you and you can use for many years into the future. Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you. You know, as a leader, a boss, a captain, a parent, an organizer, have you ever made decisions and the people that are following you, the people that you lead, don't understand at all what you are doing? They just don't understand. They don't understand what you're trying to do. Oh, they understand your job description. They understand that you're the leader, but they don't understand at times why you do the things you do and why you do even the small things that you do in the way you do it. For example, I meet people from time to time who say to me, so what do you do with your time? I mean, every weekend and during the week you give talks in different places, but what else do you do? And I've heard some people say, gee, you mustn't have to do very much really. You know, you probably spend most of your time just, you know, waiting for the next time you give a talk. And I always find that amusing because that couldn't be really further from the truth. When I do go out to speak, I take with me a team of people most of the time. Now, back in the day, years and years ago, I often joke with people now because when we go places, there's all sorts of equipment and there can be, you know, vehicles and trucks and gear and lights and scaffolding and all sorts of stuff. And I remember when I used to go places to speak and I just took my Bible and my notebook and that was all I had. But when I go out to speak now, I go out with teams of people who go with me and sometimes they go a few days in advance and they help me to manage what has to be done. They help me to manage the people that come from all the places they do. They help me manage where people are going to sit. They distribute materials. They answer questions of people who turn up. They meet the needs of people, of pastoral concerns that people have. Sometimes there are people who come along who can be very moved by what they experience. They can be very teary or they can be very, very silent in all that has taken place and they're trying to process it. There are those who they come along and they ensure that all the equipment, the sound, the visual stuff, all of the props are where they're meant to be. They fix unexpected problems from everything, from power failures to broken down cars out the front. They help with resources that need to get distributed. And there's a thousand other little things that they do. Now, sometimes people say to me, so why didn't you just come by yourself? Well, in the early days, I could. I just simply can't do that now. And people who say to me, why do you do all the things you do? They now don't understand. And so many people who are parents or leaders, you know what that feeling's like. You try to explain it to someone who's not involved and they don't understand it. See, for me to be able to take a team on the road with me, to be available with me, to serve with me, whether they're serving today when we go on the road or even serving in one of our Catholic Guide communities and one of our locations where people can come every week to hear, those people who come have to be formed. They have to know what to say to people. They have to know how to behave. They have to be competent in the equipment that they're using. We have many people who are deeply affected. They have to, as I say, they need to know how to look after people who come along who have tremendous moments in their life of life change. We have people who come along whose marriages are turned upside down and restored. We've had people who come along who are on the verge of suicidal and aren't anymore. We have people who experience healing in their bodies and in their minds. We have people who experience forgiveness. We have people who make career choices that are different. And these all happen within the space of a night or a day. And so there can be some very emotionally moved people, and we need people who know how to do it. And we have to train every person and every person on our team. In other words, we've got to create a culture. We've got to create an environment of a certain kind of person who can come with us. So I always find it amusing when people say to me, what are you doing in between the talks? It's getting all of that stuff, which, to be honest with you, I spend more time working in all of those things, making sure that everything works, than actually it goes into the talk part of the ministry. So when people say, why don't you just give a talk and don't worry about any of the rest of it, I've come to the realization they just don't understand. Now, many people, when we consider Jesus, when we think about Jesus, many people don't fully understand all that he did, why he did, what he did when he was on the earth. Now, we who are in the Catholic Guide communities, we who are in different sorts of communities and parishes around the world, the reality is that those organizations, those structures, those groupings of people, they're organized in certain ways for certain reasons. Now, Jesus, when he came along, we can also, if you said to Jesus, what was his mission, many people would say, well, Jesus's mission was that he would die and he would rise, that humanity was going to be set up in such a way that they were going to be won back from the effect of original sin that had separated them from God. And they'd be right. But Jesus came about for something far more than even that, or I shouldn't say more, but he came to do something a lot greater than that, in the sense of working out what the effect of that was in the life of a person. See, many people fall into the trap. Many people fall into the trap who lead church communities, parishes, groups, religious communities, fall into the trap of thinking that it's about budgets, it's about buildings, it's about programs, it's about structures, thinking that, well, if I build my group, if I build my local community, if I build the choir in the parish, if I build the groups in that I'm leading, if I build the young adult group, if I get all of these structural things right, that people will come. And what we're seeing today is increasingly people are not coming. They're not turning up to things that once long ago we could have done, would have built a community or would have transformed a group of people. It isn't working anymore. For a long time, I went to conferences. I studied how to do the budgets and the buildings and the systems and the programs. I was a prolific reader. If you came to my study and you looked at the walls of my study, I've got hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of books, it feels like, that talk about how to do all of these things. And the truth is, if I could have all of my time again, I'd change my whole library around, because I concentrated for a long time about on the wrong things. My thinking was, if I build the programs, the budgets, the structures correct, that the church community that I lead will grow. And I was wrong. See, you can build the physical structure of the church, But it doesn't mean necessarily that people will be attractive to that. Not anymore. Right? Not anymore when we need to win people in a completely different way. It doesn't mean that these things are not important. I used to think they were more important than they actually are. That, as it says in the one of those movies, it says, if you build it, they will come. Well, that's just not true. So if all of those things that many of us went and studied, I've talked to many priests who said, well, I went to seminary and I studied so much of these sorts of things, but it isn't helping me build the fundamentals of the parish. If they're not the main thing, what's the main thing? What is the main thing that we're meant to do? Well, if you read at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, just as he was ascending to heaven, Jesus comes along and he says this to them in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples." Our task, and the thing that Jesus counts more than anything else, our task is not our buildings, our structures, our programs. What Jesus counts is whether we are making disciples. Now, as soon as you say that, everybody goes, oh, of course that's right. Absolutely, yeah, that's right, being a disciple. But there's a huge difference between discipleship and attendance. I'd like to talk, but I don't have time today, but I'd like to talk to us about, do we think that getting someone to turn up to church every week is what discipleship is about? Is that what discipleship is? Because for a long time, I would have argued that discipleship was about attendance, that getting people into the room, that's what we were trying to do, that if we could get them to turn up, that was it, that we could count the number of people. But the reality is that's not what a disciple is today, because all you need to do is have a little bit of hardship, a little bit of struggle, a little bit of challenge, a little bit of tragedy, a little bit of controversy in the media, a little bit of scandal come along. And many of those people who were turning up cease turning up. Many of those people who go through the challenges that life brings, who feel within themselves completely and utterly ill-equipped to come along and know spiritually and as a person how to deal with those things. What they do is they run down to a religious person, whoever a religious person is in their life, and they say, tell me what I'm meant to think. Tell me what I'm meant to do. Tell me how I'm meant to behave. In other words, they haven't learnt within themselves how to do it. I fell into that trap for a long time, thinking that church was about the structures and the programs. And if you got those right, then somehow you were doing it right. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say, go therefore into all the world and build a great organization. He doesn't say, therefore, go into all the world and build a great program. He doesn't say, go therefore and make sure that your church services, or in the Catholic Guy community, our church services on a Sunday are amazing experiences, or the ones we hold during the week, that they're fantastic, where the lights are just right, the music is fantastic, everybody's dressed in their best gear. That's not what it says. But if you were to study my career, you would see that for a long time I put my effort, and not even that long ago, into making sure that all of those things were right, thinking that the more attractive it was, the more people would come and the more people we'd reach. And I was wrong. I was wrong. It doesn't say that in the scriptures, if you really begin to study what it is that Jesus is calling us to. See, if you build the physical structures of the church, you might get disciples. You just might. But if you actually build a disciple, if you build a disciple, you will always, in the end, get the church. Discipleship, what is it? Discipleship, the scripture tells us, is to be like the master. Discipleship, the scripture tells us, is to be like Jesus. What are we asking most people to do? We're asking most people to attend, is to pay up. But that's very different than asking them to be like Jesus. That's very different than turning up and paying up. That's very different than saying to them, I want you to be like Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Turning up and financially contributing are essential components of discipleship. Don't get me wrong. But they are not what discipleship in its totality is. Discipleship is about transformation. It's about something happening to us because we ask consistently and regularly asking that question, are we like Jesus? Are we like Jesus? To be honest with you, I find many people who aren't even sure what discipleship actually is. And a good answer to that is to ask this question. Do our lives look like the lives of those we see in the scriptures in terms of the qualities they possessed? Let me say that again. Do our lives look like the lives of those we see in the scriptures in terms of the qualities they possessed? And when I began to think in that way, does my life look like the lives of the people we see in the scriptures in terms of the qualities they possess? When I began to think that way, I had to answer of my own life, no, it doesn't. My life doesn't look like that, because when I read the early Christians were these people who loved one another. These early Christians seemed to have an ability to give away from themselves to things that were of the most and greatest value to themselves, to others. The early Christians seemed to have this ability to be able to care for the poor, the weak, the hidden, and the hurting. The early Christians were these people who seemed to have the ability to be powerful in their prayer life, to be powerful in their conviction, who seemed to be powerful in the way that they expressed their love of God and who God was, that these early Christians seemed to have this ability to talk about Jesus as if Jesus was their personal Lord, their personal friend, was someone that they had intimately and absolutely met in their life. When I began to ask myself the question, was I a disciple? Even though I have studied so much, I've done all my study at university for so many years, I've turned up to church all my life, I had to answer the question as I've reflected on this in recent times and stopped and say, want to know something? I don't know that I could describe myself as a disciple, but most people, you know, throughout my life would say, oh, he is. A disciple is someone who knows the person of Jesus. Have a look at in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? See, when we want to understand what discipleship is, and we'll look at this scripture, discipleship is made and it has two distinct elements to it, to be a disciple. Discipleship has both has an invitation to relationship and a challenge to change. There's two elements to discipleship. It's an invitation to a relationship and it's a challenge to change, always, when we understand true discipleship. And if we read this scripture, we see it very clearly in this scripture. And then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to become my followers, invitation, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In other words, there is, if you want to come be my friend, you can, but here's the challenge that you need to change. You need to change. So discipleship is an invitation to a relationship where you have entree to the personal life of Jesus. To the personal life of Jesus. And you get close enough to experience that life on your life. You get experience the love and the care, the safety, the intimacy that resides there. And so the discipleship is this invitation into this relationship with Jesus, this encounter with Jesus that's personal, that's whole, that's real. And because as you come closer to Jesus, what you do is you get to this place in the intimacy of being in this place close with Jesus, that Jesus calls us to change. Now, think about it this way. If you're just someone turning up to church or turning up to a church group of some sort, and you don't experience it as an invitation to a relationship, and that as you come close to Jesus who is perfect and God that is perfect, and that experience to be challenged to change, you might just describe yourself then as maybe just someone who's attending. And the thing that I've discovered about people who are attenders can tend to stop attending a lot easier than someone who's in a relationship with someone. So someone who's in a relationship with someone doesn't quit and pull away as easily as someone who is in a relationship with them. So the relationship challenges us to change in our life, because when we have access to Jesus in our life, but you have to want to see Jesus, to be close to Jesus. So when you come face to face with his life, with the life of Jesus, it becomes highly challenging. It becomes highly challenging. For many years, I think I'm like a lot of people, I turned up to church for many, many years in my life, and I'd come with my list of things that I wanted to pray for. And at those times in church, in the middle of church, in the middle of the mass or church, I would have all of these list of things that I wanted to talk to God about, and I wanted God to give me. But I wasn't necessarily coming at from the perspective of a mature disciple. I was coming at it from the perspective of someone who was immature, who came with my list, because my relationship with God was one way. My relationship with God was, God, give me all these things. Now, as a church community, what we're called to is to be in this relationship with Jesus, that as we get closer to Jesus, Jesus comes along and Jesus points out by his very life where we see ourselves in such a way where we stop and go, there's need for me to change within my own life. That this personal relationship with Jesus is transformative. That we're called to be in a transformed relationship. Now next week, I'm going to talk about how do people help us grow as a disciple. I'd invite you to join me in Sydney this October for the Heart Women's Conference. I heard it once said that if you educate a boy, you educate a man, but if you educate a girl, you educate an entire family. In my life, I've been surrounded by significant, powerful, sensitive, and strong women who've helped shape my life, starting with my mother, who gave her everything for my four brothers and I. Nothing was too much. I've worked with amazing women of wisdom who are leaders, organisers and carers in the greater society. Rosemary, my wife, who leads the Heart Women's Conference, loves God with a passion and has a vision to see women be encouraged, strengthened, refreshed and built up. Come and laugh, maybe even cry a little, and be filled with the power of God over 3 days. You'll not be disappointed. It could well be the best thing you do in 2017. Ladies, catch a plane, catch a bus, drive a car, and allow Rosemary and the team to spoil you at Heart 2017. You won't be disappointed.
Whatever type of woman you are, we all enjoy time away from our everyday lives. Come and join other women as we refresh our minds, our bodies, our souls, and our hearts. You will be empowered to live a bold, blessed, and faith-filled life as the beautiful woman you are. To register for the Heart Women's Conference 2017, go to heart.thecatholicguy.com today.
The Bible talks to us about bringing our needs before God and asking Him to bless us. Well, sometimes asking people to pray for us is exactly the right thing we should do, but finding people to do that with us can be hard. So why don't you write to me right now on the addresses on your screen. I read, and so does others, and pray for what you send us. I've read some beautiful prayer requests from around the world this week, and so I want to encourage you, why don't you take the effort to just write a few sentences right now, and we're going to agree with you that God would work in your situation and do God's perfect will. Now, if you didn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right now, and you would know the reason for that, I say that every week because that's true, you would know the reason for that, I want you to know that we are not invited to just be people who turn up to church. We're actually invited into a relationship of intimacy, that when we meet Jesus, it has the effect of transforming the totality of who we are. Imagine if you were as changed to be all that you could be. You'd be an amazing person. And God would be able to use you in your life and in your work and in your family in an amazing way. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.